Triple M's.
Oh!
That has gone sideways.
My word.
That has gone sideways.
Oh. Cricket Fan Podcast.
Bloody hell!
The summer of cricket has officially started with our first sighting of George Bailey and Tassie Bottle Green on the player mic. And the Triple M Fan Podcast is here to take you through all the talking points so far. I'm your host, Rudy Etzel, joined by Tommy Beers.
Yeah, mate.
Ethan Meldrum.
How nice is it staring at George Bailey's ass for another summer?
Oh, it's the best. May he never retire. And, of course, George Porter's here as well to talk us through all things South Australia. How are we, boys?
Yeah, good to go.
Yes, lovely.
Good to be back.
So, first point of business is Australia 2 for 233, defeated Sri Lanka 9 for 99. And it
wasn't even a game.
No,
really.
Not really. That was one of those ones where you were like, oh, I wish I could bat for the 50 overs to see how many they made.
Like 600 if they had a batted 50 overs.
No, like they didn't really look like slowing them down, Sri Lanka, at any point.
No.
Even Lasith Malinga couldn't keep a lid on it. I think it's the biggest 2020 score at the Adelaide Oval they mentioned on the commentary a couple times yesterday. David Warner, I was going to say, he knocked off his Ashes total in one inning.
Death, taxes, and David Warner making an easy 100 against a pretty bit lesser opponent, I
think. Extremely flat track bully area, is that?
Yeah, so he's made 100, bang on. He got there at the last ball of the innings.
Yeah, and, it kind of fell that way as well. Like I reckon if he'd gone full tilt for the last couple of overs, he could have probably made 110 or 120.
Yeah. He slowed up. The thing was that...
he banked that one.
But the thing was that
great time,
he was actually... Yeah. I think he just read the play well there and went, like, Glenn Maxwell was pulling off fireworks there. He didn't need to.
I'd agree, but he did the exact same thing at the Cricket World Cup. Whenever he was getting close to a milestone, he'd slow up, bat selfish, and make sure he got the milestone instead of putting the foot down and making sure we got 350. You know?
It didn't matter here, though, because they'd made so many runs already.
Yeah,
that's true. And not to put the blame on him, but Ashton Turner just bonking a single on the third last ball just to get Davey Warner on strike. Like, mate, you're in there to hit boundaries.
No, I don't like that. No way. They'd become a public villain if you had survived him.
They were on 230 already. Yeah. It didn't matter. There was no way
the other chase. He could have called back to England and be welcomed as a hero.
it was great to see Aaron Finch, obviously. We know it.
He's back on that sore, is it?
No, he's fine.
He looked great. And then Glenn Maxwell he looked serious.
Every ball looked like it was going to go the journey for a while there. That it was unreal.
The switch hit, like the reverse sweep four that he hit. But also, my favourite one of them all was that the MS Dhoni helicopter shot that just pogoed into the stands.
Do you remember last year when he did the videos of impersonating other batsmen? And he did Langer and I think he might have done KP.
Yeah.
Now he's just taking it out to the middle and going, all right, here's your Dhoni. And I'm waiting for him to pull out the AB De Villiers. Yeah. You know,
well, he kind of did that, that reverse hit scoop that went for four.
Also a big fan of reading the play and sending him in at three.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's so good when it comes off, though. Like, you see it so often where teams, you know, put someone up as a pinch hitter and it doesn't come off. They make, you know, three off eight balls and
make seven off two.
But it was justified when a bloke comes out and makes 62 off 35
didn't
balls.
Didn't pay
or whatever
off that many times in the World Cup when we tried to bump the order. But yesterday, just easy as, but a bit of a lesser bowling lineup than what we had in the World Cup.
They weren't much chop, were they, the Sri Lankans? The spinner went for 70. That spinner that went for 75 is
the worst T20 figures of all time. None for 75.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit. That's awful, isn't it?
I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad.
When you're on track for those numbers too, you'd be looking around going, please don't give me the ball.
Well,
Warner and Maxwell running fine leg to fine leg.
Yeah. They turned to a new bowler to bowl the last over of the innings. They had no answers.
They're in complete
Surely you can pick that one by like the 12th or 13th over, realising, okay, our five bowlers probably aren't going to get the job done. Surely we need to turn to at least like a part-time bowler, the 13th or 14th, just to give us an option, just so one bowler doesn't have to bowl his
last
carted.
The thing was, Malinga had to bring himself back to try and stem the bleeding because he's their only genuine option, really, with a rock.
He was the only one who looked half-threatening.
He only went for 10 as well. Old Shinaka. That was the third best bowling figures of the lot.
It's because they were nursing Warner till he's done. It didn't matter. I think I'm a bit worried that the rest of the T20 series against Sri Lanka will continue that way.
Yeah. And then, I can't see anyone that they're going to bring in who's going to turn the tide.
For sure.
If they hadn't picked them in the first game, they're not going to pick them
Do you reckon there's a chance Steve Smith just doesn't bat in this entire 2020 series?
Half a chance. No, surely you get to the third game and you just go, you open.
Like,
I thought about this the other week when they brought the squad out for it, and I was like, I should have brought it up. Is there even any need for Steve Smith to be playing in these 2020s?
No, absolutely not.
There's no point. No. Is there?
No, there's...
The only point is that he hasn't played international cricket in Australia. And he has been sitting on the sidelines for so long that he'd just be itching to play any form of cricket for Australia.
But, now, George, you were saying this before in the office, that these guys that are playing the 2020s will miss out the next Shield round.
Well, I've had a little bit of a look at the fixture, and this is an absolute meltdown.
Good to see you finally done some research.
I know. It was this and Luke Palmer's back. Yeah. So it's been a busy morning.
They normally handle this summer of cricket stuff so well.
Oh, my God. All right, so on the 30th, which is this Wednesday, we're recording on Monday morning.
Yep.
So it's the next one. The next 2020 against the Sri Lankans. And then on the 31st, which is Thursday, Tassie then take on Victoria in the Sheffield Shield. So if you're Glenn Maxwell or Finch or whoever you want to be trying to make some red ball runs, you're either playing in the 2020 and not playing in the Shield, or you're just leaving yourself out of the 2020. Same day, Queensland play Western Australia. So then, again, if you're one of the players in the 2020 lineup, Ashton Turner perhaps, you can't play in the Sheffield Shield. Surely
you'd prefer Steve Smith was playing in the Sheffield Shield.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
or Glenn Maxwell.
David Warner.
Like, it's almost like they've predicted the 2020 team when they did this, because a day later, so this Sheffield Shield game doesn't start on the same day. This starts on the 1st. So South Australia and New South Wales start a day later. So that means players like Warner, Stark, Cummins, Carey, Smith can all play because they've got a day break in between. Kane Richardson, yeah. But, you know, if you're Glenn Maxwell, not that he's probably in test lineup or in the frame for a test or Finchie, but...
Well, Glenn Maxwell's ambition still is test cricket.
Correct.
He says that every single summer.
When does that Sheffield Shield game start?
So South Australia play New South Wales on the 1st of November, which would be probably this Friday?
Yeah, that's the day of the last 2020, the third one.
Is there another one too?
There's three, and the last one's on the 1st of November.
Onions. Well, there you go.
I thought you said you'd done your research.
Come on. He brings one bit of research, bit of content to the table, and he's absolutely butchered it.
But even still.
The whole thing's a strange
Wouldn't you try and work around that?
You'd think so.
And give your best
especially,
players.
Especially
you're full Kasim Rajitha.
But especially if you're picking a guy like Steve Smith for the...
Yeah.
David Warner, I don't understand it. Yeah.
Stark, Alex Carey.
The Ashes is done. We're not playing India this summer, so they don't really care.
Yeah, they just don't care.
And it means that they're trying... Look, this shows their hand that they're actually going to try and win the 2020 World Cup.
Well, that's true, yeah. Yeah, they actually...
And they're actually going to play a fair dinkum every 2020 that we play from now on.
I'm not 100% sure that Steve Smith is the right answer for that, but he's the best batsman in Australia. So
he's in our best T20 side.
Where he fits in, yeah.
All right, let's move on. The Marsh Cup has been done. There's been a round of it since we last spoke. And it was pretty nuts, to be honest. We all thought that Queensland had done enough to get over the line with a massive Manus Labuschagne ton.
Yeah. He converted. Then
he finally got one. Made about 140-odd, I reckon. Yeah. And then Adam Zampa just got it done for your boys there, Jorge, with the huge hitting at the end. They needed 15 off the last over, and he just went 6-4-4.
That's about all he's good for with the bat.
If you haven't seen those highlights, please go watch them. It was crazy, legit death batting slogging.
How was the paddle shot that he played?
Paddle shots, spanking them through, like backing away and spanking them through cover, pull shots off, whatever.
Just the nerve to see Michael Nesser at the top of his run-up and then step across the stumps and paddle one over fine leg.
Michael Nesser, who's just been with the Australia squad in England.
Incredible.
Michael Nesser, who's, one of the best bowlers in the country, and Billy Stanlake, who is about 6'13". Yeah. And bowls 150.
Yeah,
it's about all he's good for, Zampa, because if you needed him to bat out the day in a Sheffield Shield, he could not possibly do it. That is his go when he's got the bat. And he can slap a ball. So got away with one there, the Spiders.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, very handy, because they looked like they'd stuffed it up, because the Queensland were four for five for
20?
Yeah.
And
Wesley Agar.
Yeah, Wes Agar did the damage up top. And then, Manus really just...
And Jimmy Pearson
shepherded them to a total. They made a pretty decent total in the end.
Manus is
they made 290.
Yeah. And Labuschagne's dig was the best of the lot. And then Zampa really outshone him a bit there. Mm. The other interesting one was New South Wales playing Tassie.
Oh, my God.
And we all thought they were absolute morals, New South Wales. And then Matthew Wade got taken out of the squad.
I think I declared them in the morning as the greatest certainties in cricket history.
Yeah.
Boy, did I put the slows on them.
Gamble responsibly, but George was very disappointed to miss out on the $1.20 after we mentioned it. I don't think any of us did.
No, I'm not as angry as that as I am not about that Mystic short. Journey, but we'll leave that for the racing podcast.
and then they just got taken down, really, didn't they? It was a bit of a... it was a bit of a boil over.
It was crazy. That lineup should not. We discussed on the day that if they were playing against this Sri Lankan team that were rolled out yesterday,
they effectively did. they almost did.
That team would have gone in. That New South Wales team would have gone in favourites against pretty much every international side bar India and England at the moment.
Yeah,
I'd say so.
Yeah,
and so, Tassie won by 6 wickets.
And Tassie towed them up. George Bailey's ass got them over the line.
Jordan Silk made 50 not out.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was a great...
Stark and Cummins didn't take a wicket between them.
No.
It was actually... And they got spanked a bit around it as well. I really enjoyed the Bailey innings is what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
He really just steered him home and it looked... Yeah, as soon as he got to the crease, you sort of knew, oh, he's going to...
He's absolutely going to do this.
Yeah. it was just great to watch.
And he's one of the more likeable players ever, George Bailey, I reckon.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, I don't think... We're saying that most people, you know, find a reason not to like a player, but everyone, I think, just loves him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Riley Meredith with the ball. Very impressive. It's just...
He's quick, his lips.
Yeah. He's very quick as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was Nathan Ellis. Yeah, that really did the damage.
The destroyer.
Yeah. And we were sort of like taking the piss out of him.
Potting him early.
Sam Curran lookalike.
He sure showed us. And New South Wales as well. And then also you had the WAV Victoria game that finished at about 1 a.m. Melbourne time. So we were sort of going, oh, when did the Vic start? Oh, it's 2 o'clock. Oh, hang on. That's 2 o'clock, buddy. WA time. Yeah. So it started at 5 with a wet outfield and then several rain delays.
I don't mind that. Go full home ground advantage.
Well, they used to do it with internationals when I was a kid. It was great. You'd get home from school and the day-night games would be the day night one day would be starting, and then you'd your mum would send you to bed night. And you'd get up in the middle of the night and watch the end of it at 1 a.m. It was awesome. It was great. But our mate the oil rig got it done
up the rig
45 off 44 and then to 3 for 20.
He might be the biggest beneficiary of all these guys being out the next shield round.
He gets
another crack at actually cementing his putting his hand up at least, because geez, he's making a good case, isn't he?
He hasn't done much wrong since he's fallen on the outer.
And those wickets, I think he took, what was he, taken 3 for 20 in that game against Victoria, but they were important wickets.
Yeah, big wickets. It was also Matt Kelly wrecked the Victorian top order too. He took all of her 3 wickets.
My man, Matt Kelly.
Yeah. Is he your man?
I've adopted him.
Yeah. Oh, right.
The question should be, who is Matt Kelly?
he's quite a good bowler.
Obviously.
He bowled really well at death for the Scorchers last season.
Ethan just knows everything about him. If he says a kid is good, you roll with it.
Take it to the bank.
In the WBBL, that South African import Marizan Kapp took a hat trick for the Sixers, which is pretty cool. And your strikers,
not that you know it.
Yeah, no.
She didn't even celebrate. Everyone else is like jumping around her and trying to ruffle her hair, and she's just like, "What?
I've got more wickets to take.
It's off. I'm going back to my mark."
Your Adelaide strikers sit on top there, George. So it's looking good for them.
And isn't he stoked about it? Look at him.
He's gone full Marizan cap in his celebrations. But the Sixers are always a scary prospect in that one, so keep an eye on them. Warney dropped his respective 11s across all 3 formats, didn't he, the other day? So we took particular joy in the one-day 11 with Cameron Boyce in it for some reason.
Sparked a lot of debate.
Yeah.
Everyone going, how the hell do you pick a 30-year-old who can't get picked for their state? He's 30. Hasn't been picked for his state for a number of years now.
Yeah.
Cameron Boyce wouldn't make a best of Queensland first grade 11.
Yeah. And Warney wants him playing 50 one over days, cricket. Yeah.
So the only totally leg normal. Spinning option out there.
Adam Zampa. Yeah. If you want a leg, you just pick Adam Zampa.
That's right.
True.
Or Marnus.
It must make you feel really good. That Cam Boyce call must make you feel pretty good, Ethan, about having the same test top six as Warney.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, credibility meldrum. Yeah.
That means I've probably nailed 5 and got one other selection horrendously wrong.
I still can't believe he didn't have Stoinis in his test team. He's Stoinis' biggest fan.
He's a big oil rig man.
Or Zach Crawley. Yeah. Whatever that's what. Or he's not even Australian.
Or Ravi Bhopal or something. Yeah. Bruce Springsteen, Bhopal. The boss in at three.
Definitely not Marlon Samuels.
Yeah, no. And definitely not Steve Waugh either. just before we go, it's worth touching on the 2020 World Cup. So the qualifiers are being...
A little bit off-Broadway, this. This is what you get on the Triple M Cricket Fan podcast that you don't get anywhere else.
It's so off-Broadway that the two teams that have qualified directly, who we'll definitely be seeing at the 2020 World Cup here in Australia, are Papua New Guinea and Ireland. It's Papua New Guinea's first ever World Cup in any format of cricket.
So good on
them. We said this in the office earlier. Please name your favourite Papua New Guinean cricketer. And we've come out with...
Geraint Jones.
Oh, my God. They've got someone.
Anyway, they actually do.
Send him through if you've got another one.
He's in his 40s now.
43. Hasn't played for 5 years.
He's a smoky. I reckon he'll start
coming out of retirement. Yeah,
there's got to be a glove.
He can sniff a World Cup.
He's going full Brendan Nash and Luke Bronchi and just head to a Tom Cooper.
Yeah, Tom Cooper. Yeah, Ryan Campbell.
He went and played for Hong Kong.
Yeah.
You know, between Geraint Jones, Papua New Guinea, Owen Morgan probably being my favourite Irish cricketer of all time. I reckon there's a really common trend we could nail with every single one of these teams. Do they have a pom?
Yeah. Well, the Netherlands are in with a chance to make it as well. So Netherlands, Namibia, Scotland, UAE, Oman and Hong Kong all in with a chance to qualify the long way. And the Netherlands have got Ryan Tendiscarter, who's played a lot of cricket in England. So you could be onto something there, Heater. Yeah. You could be onto something.
I like that Ireland are in because sometimes they do pull one hell of a performance out of their ass. Yeah, like, yeah. How on earth did you make?
They've effectively traded off one generation of cricketers for the last 15 or so years. Mm. Remember they had a couple of like really good World Cup performances, that chase against England and stuff.
Yeah, like your Kevin O'Briens and stuff.
Mm. And that year they knocked Pakistan and India out of the... That's awesome.
Sometimes they're always there or thereabouts, the Irish, and then they manage to stuff it up somehow and they miss out in the World Cup this year. And
That's right. I think that's probably enough from us, really.
We'll leave you on that high.
We'll leave you on that high. We'll be back next week to talk about the... remaining two T20s and also the Sheffield Shield whenever that's happening, George.
Schedules probably border. Not when you say.
That's right. Thanks for listening. We'll speak to you again next week.